This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like, I'll just use an example.
Mm-hmm.
You think today he's better than Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. More Super Bowls, more Super Bowl MVPs.
The Super Bowl is a little different, though. So I'm not gonna hold.
I think he's got much the same. Like, well, much he's like, probably got the same amount of regular MVPs or.
Aaron, look. So if the line is now,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something to be said for Aaron Rodgers' longevity. Like, he won two MVPs like 4 years ago.
All right, maybe I answered a little fast.
That's what I'm like,
maybe I answered a little fast. But so Rodgers is top 10 as well, though.
When you talk, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, I think maybe today, Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers. We'll just say that for argument's sake. If the back end of this career is no Super Bowls, no Super Bowl appearances and stuff mm-hmm. like that, I think he when we see the totality of it, he can.
But I think that's if you're fluctuating and doing like a yearly power rankings for mm-hmm. quarterbacks, mm-hmm. because if you're just doing it as an analysis of the greatest of all time, I don't think Patrick can be above Aaron Rodgers, because part of what makes Aaron Rodgers great is his longevity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the sole factor, because if it is, no one is topping Tom Brady
right.
ever. No one is ever going to do what he did again. But what Aaron Rodgers did later in his career, I don't like him, but he is one of the greatest we've ever seen to do it. You know, I love Peyton Manning. We saw Peyton fall apart at the end of his career. Now, Aaron Rodgers isn't falling apart, but you go back to, maybe he's not playing at that level, but it was only 4 years ago that he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's won, man, do I have this timeline right? He's won MVPs while this show has been on the air.
Yeah, the first year.
And he's 40-something.
The COVID year, I think he won it, didn't he?
Yeah, but and didn't he win two in a row? Because didn't he say I messed up their plan?
Sounds
for the Jordan Love draft. He won two of them while we've been on the air.
All time Rodgers, I think you'd have to go with Rodgers.
I think so too.
He won the MVP at like 38 years old.
Yeah, he's a 4-time MVP winner.
I never liked Aaron Rodgers, just like because I don't like the Packers and I didn't like Aaron Rodgers. And then as we moved on in life, I started not really being a fan of him for other things as well. Aaron Rodgers, he might have been the best I've ever seen.
Mm.
Like, when he was cooking,
mm-hmm.
he might have been the best I've ever seen. He was unbelievable. And I don't like the guy at all. But I only brought him up because I think about guys like that. Like, I think all in the chat, everybody's saying, yeah, Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers.
I think at the end of
the career, if there's nothing added on to it, no more MVPs, no more Super Bowls, no more Super Bowl appearances added on by Patrick Mahomes, I think we'll look at that a little different later in life. Which is still having him in the top 10, top 15.
Yeah.
Right now, if he's 3, he may fall down to 7 when it's all said and done.
Yeah. In a catastrophic injury brings along these types of conversations. I wonder where Kansas City will be next.
I always felt the comps to Brady were for more like content and stuff like that.
The what?
The comps to Brady, like, oh, he's already better than Brady. Like, Brady's got the Super Bowls. He beat him twice.
Yeah.
Well,
like, we've seen, like, you know, it's Tom Brady.
Before, I was all in on what could have been before the Super Bowl to the Bucks, because like if he gets this one, if he beats Brady, and he's got, I think that would have
passing of the torch.
Yeah, like I was like, yo, he's on his way. And this
see
is
if Triple H had booked this, Patrick Mahomes would have beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, Because you got to get the new talent over.
Don't do that.
But
no,
what happened?
No, it went
Tom Brady should have. Don't beat the young guy and said, I'm him. I'm the GOAT.
And everybody was happy.
Thank God Triple H isn't in charge.
Everybody was happy.
I think it was even in Tampa Bay, wasn't it?
It was in Tampa Bay. Yeah.
I applaud them for the finish on Saturday.
Well,
that's
where you push me to.
You can understand.
Shout out Paul Levesque.
Little stepchild of Stephanie and Paul.
Shout
over
out
here.
Paul Levesque.
Wow. Did that to your GOAT, too.
But I thought if he were to get that one, he was like, oh, he's on his way to being the best. Mm-hmm. And just like how it happens sometimes in sports, he didn't. And it always like didn't guarantee, but it was like, oh yeah, he's never going to pass Brady. Then yeah, I can't be. So, I wonder what the rest of everything looks like. Cause I think the Chiefs are done. Like, I think they're finished. That doesn't mean they can't ever bounce back. And Mahomes with a brand new cast. And when I say brand new cast, I'm talking new coaches, new players, everything new around him. It doesn't mean he can't elevate and get back to those levels. But the Chiefs that we know, this dynasty of the Chiefs is over.
I think you need to reset the roster. I think you can still get it done with Andy and Patrick. Like, Andy can still coach.
Still can. I just don't know how much longer Andy wants to coach.
Oh, sure.
That was my thought of it. That he's a bad coach now.
I think he'd want to coach as long as Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback.
True.
He's 67, though. Yeah. He's 67, and I don't know that Andy Reid has ever done anything in his life other than football. Mm. So he could, you know, paterno this thing and go till he's 80 if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone would have a problem with it.
And like, that's once again, when I think of the Chiefs, I think of how people would talk about the Seahawks. I used to always remember this. When the Legion of Boom was going on, and I forgot the guy, I think it was Snyder, was the GM. And he's like, man,
John Snyder,
man, he found Sherman in the fifth round, and he found Cam Chancellor, and he got Earl Thomas, and look at this defense, and Bennett, like, he's just the guy. He'll do it again. I said, do you guys realize what you're seeing? You're seeing one of the greatest defenses of all time. Mm-hmm. And to just say he's just going to do it again, no, that's not how these things work. And, like, whoever the Chiefs GM is and Andy and all these other guys, between Chris Jones and Kelsey and Mahomes and hitting on Tyreek Hill, like, are you just going to do that again?
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast, my friend.
That wasn't the only ACL tear yesterday.
Mm.
In fact, I think there are ACL tears that happened yesterday we probably won't even talk about. But it happened to two massive stars, obviously Patrick Mahomes being one, Micah Parsons being the other, and that changes the complexion. In real time, it was Micah Parsons goes down. Minutes later, Davante Adams goes down with the hamstring injury. And you're thinking, man, Packers, Rams just suffered two massive, massive losses.
That was stunning to see on the heels of the Patrick Mahomes situation. It's like, oh man, just tell me, you know, it's a what do they usually call the a bruise, you know, a bone bruise or something like that off a hyperextended leg or something like that. Please tell me it's that. I don't say another ACL that wipes out a guy that was going to potentially be an X factor in whether or not whoever gets to the Super Bowl, right? Like, if he's there, he could be an X factor for the Packers. If he's not, he's now an X factor as to why somebody else might get to that spot. That was tough to see from Micah, man. Felt bad for him. Felt terrible for him.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Tough loss for the Packers, tough loss for the Rams, and it just opens things up in what was already a very open conference. And then here you have the San Francisco 49ers perhaps playing their best football, headed into a Monday night game against the dude I was very openly rooting for yesterday. When I saw he didn't get hurt, I'm like, hey, go and get this done, Phillip Rivers. Go get these Seahawks a loss. Let's see what happens here in the NFC West. Obviously, that didn't happen, but he did about everything he could
for 45
to get
good.
Him there. I mean,
I was watching the game. Like he's 45 years old. He hasn't played in 5 years. He was throwing fly balls every time he threw a football. But like, it seemed like he was hitting the right guys when he tried.
Yeah. Damian said it best when we were talking during one of the breaks last night on Sports Sunday. He's like, yeah, man. I was like, Phillip Rivers, he actually did good. Like, he was out there cooking. Threw for like 120.
Well, that's the thing. The mind, right. the mind is still there to play football, but just the physical traits, he doesn't got it anymore.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. Because I was watching this. I don't know if this happened on the broadcast or because I saw the highlight later, but I very rarely go quad box when the Niners are playing. Number one, because I don't have Sunday ticket. So quad box included South Carolina basketball game.
You got FS1 on there.
Yeah, something over there. But it had Seahawks Colts with Niners Titans. And because the Niners were playing the Titans, and it was at the time it was like a 14-point game, I said, no, I'm going to keep my eye on this. The Colts are winning. Phillip Rivers, like, let me keep my eye on this. So I was watching, and I thought it was really cool when I guess the players from the high school were watching him, and when he scored the touchdown, they, like, go crazy at the Pizza Hut that they were watching the game. I was like, that's pretty dope, man. I'd be hyped if I was 15, 16 years old and my coach was playing in the NFL game, like, right now. Like,
yeah, it'd be
pretty I'd be like, that's pretty cool. So
you had him in position, just defense couldn't hold him in the end.
Yeah. That 60-yarder was crazy. I couldn't believe it. He smacked it.
I thought they ran the ball because they were gonna go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it like, hey, what's he doing? Hey, hey, call timeout. What's the kicker doing? It's like, oh, it's a 60-yarder to tie the game. Well, that's stupid.
Man, yeah, that's a save. I was mad because obviously I wanted him to win. I said, you idiot. Why would you do this? You're so stupid. Boom, that thing through right down the middle.
The hell of a kick.
Probably would have been good from like 63.
Hell of a kick.
Like, man. And then they couldn't hold on to it. By the time I got in the car, they had already given up the lead, and Phil Rivers had was just about to throw his interception.
Mm.
I said, what the hell? I said, what's he doing back out there? And why is he throwing?
Yeah.
Just like that.
Gave it up. Back quick. Mm. But that's the 49ers' next opponent. And they're playing good ball right now, man. I got a question for you.
All right.
James is going to join us. James Hamm is going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour to talk Kings basketball. So we'll talk some more 49ers, man. Okay, if it doesn't happen today, it doesn't happen. We could do it today. We could do it tomorrow. NBA, the basketball on Saturday was fire.
Ooh.
It was absolutely fire.
Look, James Hamm going to have to apologize to me because the NBA Cup was popping. Popping.
We'll talk about it. Stealing with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, James Hamm's going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll shift our attention to the ever-struggling Sacramento Kings. And, boy, shout-out to that organization. Shout-out to this basketball team because I have had some opinions on this franchise in years past that maybe were a little too optimistic. But no team in my 10 years of covering this squad has made me look as stupid as this one. A 6-20 basketball team with DeMar DeRozan, Russell Westbrook, Zach LaVine, and Malik Monk on it. And Dennis Schroeder, who I've always liked. So shout out to them because they have made me look as stupid as they possibly could with that 6-20 record. So we'll examine our stupidity coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour when James Hamm joins us.
Michael Jackson, you are not alone. I was right there with you.
Yeah, man. It is tough. But we were talking what a newsworthy Sunday it was in the NFL yesterday. And, man, your 49ers are looking really, really good right now. Might be playing their best football. I'm not really sure. I think Brock Purdy might be playing his best football. You've got four straight wins headed into an Indy team that desperately needed that game yesterday with Phillip Rivers, who they've already announced will be the starting quarterback on Monday. The Chicago Bears, who just continue to rack up victories. And the Seattle Seahawks, who in the midst of all of this and what's going on with the Rams and what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers, they just remain right there in a solid position in the NFC West as well. I thought, first and foremost, that was a hell of a game from your quarterback yesterday.
Shout out Brock, man. Shout out Brock and some of the things that I hoped would be the case when he decided to come back. And I don't think it was anything nefarious or, Kyle planned this or anybody planned this. But when you looked at when Brock was coming back, starting with Arizona, followed up with Carolina at home on Monday night, followed up with Cleveland, and then you followed up with Tennessee. It was a nice little soft spot in the schedule. Where if you were bringing Brock back after not playing for 6 or 7 weeks, he could ramp himself up towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going up against these crazy teams where you've got to be absolutely perfect on both sides of the football to win. There was a way to kind of ramp up, get a feel back for the game, get your legs under you, test that toe out a little bit. You know, all that was there, and it's been – executed flawlessly, executed perfectly, because with each passing week, Brock looks better and better, more and more comfortable. And now you're gearing up for the stretch run. You got an opportunity to clinch the playoffs. You got an opportunity and a real shot. And people are listening to the shows, listen to everything. It is a real shot to be the one seed. Mm-hmm. All you need is you need Seattle to beat the Rams on Thursday at home. And if Seattle wins that game, the Niners are in control of their own destiny.
Yeah. I think it's important to point out, though, as it stands today, because you laid it out perfectly. That's the scenario. I think that's the only scenario. Mm-hmm. The 49ers do not have control over whether they win the NFC West.
No, not today.
Yeah, not today. No. Not today. That outcome that you just laid out happens, then they do. Or they're correct me if I'm wrong, there could be a loss. As long as the Rams lose somewhere.
Right.
As long as the Rams lose somewhere the 49ers will have to take care of business the rest of the way. But as it stands today, the 49ers do not have control over whether they win the NFC West or not, or excuse me, whether they finish with the one seed or not, and you know, that might wind up being one and the same anyways. Are you confident this team is going to the playoffs?
100% confident.
Yeah, okay.
100% confident. I said for a number of different times, and I know mathematically there was some other things that literally they haven't clinched yet, but I always thought if you got to 10 wins, you're in. I think the stat was, since they extended the playoffs 4 or 5 years ago, only one team has had 10 wins and not made the playoffs. So I always thought if you got to 10, you're in there. Where you're at, where your seating is, I don't know, but you're in there. Now you've got the opportunity to not only get in, but maybe win the division. Maybe move up in the seedings. You don't have to be a 6 or 7 seed. I think, I don't want to say realistically, because I realistically think that the Seahawks could beat the Rams. And if the Seahawks are as good as people say they are, like, oh, you don't want to play Seattle and all this other stuff. Hey, on a short week, Rams come to town, you should win that game. Like I as a Seahawks fan, I would feel we got to win that game. We got to handle that if we're serious at all. So if that happens, now you're looking at the Niners going to the Colts, last two games at home between the Bears and the Seahawks. One seed is like really realistic for this squad. And I would have never, I thought they could still make the playoffs for sure after the Nick Bosa injury. The time it was really tested was after the Fred Warner injury. Yeah. I don't know if they, I don't know.
Yep.
This might be too much. To have those type of emotions throughout the season and potentially be looking at a situation where you can play your way in to being the number one seed, get a first round bye in the NFC, and literally never have to leave the Bay Area for the rest of the season potentially. That's, man, that's a hell of a job by those guys, the players and the coaches.
Absolutely. There was some concern. I think it was after the Carolina game with Brock Purdy and interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy, over the last 2 weeks, counting that nasty defense that the Cleveland Browns have. By the way, Myles Garrett, I think a sack away from the record. I know it's dumb. I really want him to do it in the without the extra game. I don't know why. Like maybe it's because it's all still really new.
Mm-hmm.
I would just really prefer he do it next week. just like do it within the realm of the 16-17 game season, 16-game season. Four touchdowns for Brock Purdy, zero interceptions. Three yesterday, three touchdowns, no interceptions. So if that is a if that was a concern, you know, you have six games from Brock Purdy now. Half of those he hasn't thrown an interception in. Mm-hmm. But in the ones that he did, it was multiples. It's like the Russell Westbrook thing. If Russell Westbrook turns the ball over, that's not going to be his last turnover of the next, like, 2 minutes. He's going to turn it over one more time. You just have to brace yourself for it. It's going to happen. If Brock Purdy throws an interception, history says he's going to throw a couple of them. Or he's not going to throw any in at all. Those are your two options this season with Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's gone two straight, and he didn't do that earlier. It was 2-2-0-3. Now it's 0-0. Maybe it's what you were just talking about. Dip your toes in the water, and now you're comfortable playing football again, and you're out there with the group of guys that you have. You don't have to worry about wide receivers coming back wanting the ball. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk is never going to step on the field for the San Francisco 49ers again. You found Ricky Pearsall yesterday. Brock Purdy, and this was the most impressive part, and this is, because we saw Mac Jones do this earlier in the season. Brock Purdy found everybody yesterday, from Ricky Pearsall to George Kittle to Juwan Jennings to Robinson. He found everyone on the football field yesterday that was wearing a 49ers uniform.
Now, that's one of his strengths, being able to spread the ball around to everybody involved, man, and giving them a look and an opportunity. I got worried with Ricky Pearsall on that first play of the game. That drop tackle, I understood why they were trying to legislate that out of the game. And I remember we were having a conversation and a lot of people in the chat and on the internet, everything is against the defense. I understand. I get that. That is a potentially catastrophic tackle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like there's a reason it's...
Yeah, you can't do that. That's right there with the horse collar and the way that had to get outlawed as well. And Ricky was able to come back from that tackle on the first play of the game. I think he's still dealing with some soreness and everything else like that. So, but they seem to avoid major injury on that. But Brock, once he was gone, he got Ricky ball... Got Ricky the ball back later on. Got Kendrick Bourne some looks. Got George Kittle some looks. Got Juszczyk some looks. Got Juwan Jennings in the end zone. And that's just who he's proven himself to be over the course of being a quarterback for the 49ers. He spreads the ball around. His ability to decipher what's going on defensively with the other team pre-snap and knowing where the ball should go pre-snap is that's one of his strengths. Between that is accuracy and his timing. Those are his strengths. That's what allows him to be the quarterback that he is on a regular basis, because he doesn't necessarily have all the physical tools. And he seems to be getting that back, getting that feeling back as a quarterback. So the Colts, Bears, and Seahawks are not the Cardinals, Titans,
they
and
are Bears. Absolutely
excuse
not.
Excuse me, and Browns.
Browns, yeah.
So the competition ratchets up. You get into the playoffs, it's going to ratchet up, and he's going to have to be ready for that. But I thought this was a nice little runway with him coming back from that toe injury.
Yeah, and it is I made mention of this on Sports Sunday last night. Apparently, it's my last Sports Sunday for a really long time. But I made mention when we were talking with Jake yesterday, and it, you know, Sports Sunday is kind of quick in and out. We don't really dialogue. Most of the time, Jake is just begging for us to shut up so he can play the next highlight. But I said something about Robert Saleh and that defensive room maybe looking at this game a little bit differently than Kyle Shanahan and the offense is. From a run defense perspective, I don't think it was very good for San Francisco yesterday. And you and Kyle Madsen, you know, long Chris Biederman, no one's better at covering this team than you guys are. It felt like they left their foot off the gas a little bit. And I don't think that's going to be received well by Bob.
Probably.
Or am
probably
I over? Not. Is that a little overblown?
No. I mean, I think that's what happened. I think a lot of it was human nature. You know, that whole game, going into the game, actually playing the game, I'm just an observer, so it's not, I don't have no control over this. But it felt like, man, just handle business, stay healthy, and let's get ready for this stretch run. Like, it because it was the Titans. They were supposed to win this game. We're going to win this game. Just handle business. Do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I saw the opening as it was happening, but I didn't know if we were going to be able to get there as easily. After what they score a field goal, I believe the 49ers scored a field goal. They scored a field goal at the close to the end of the half to make it 17-10. And then you had Eddie Pinheiro kick the ball out of bounds, which was that was kind of unfair. Did you see what happened on that play? That was re-kick it. Come on, replay. What are we doing? That's messed up. The ball was falling off the tee. So then they're driving down, and it looks like the Titans are going to get the field
goal.
It
is fascinating what officials decide. Like, no, hang on, guys.
It's your fault, buddy.
Like, it's fine.
But it looks like the Titans are going to get the field goal, maybe even a touchdown in that situation. And I was like, dang, man, now we're going to be in a dogfight, all this other stuff.
I love that.
They missed the field goal right before the field. I was like, come on, Tennessee. Beat Tennessee one time. Beat Tennessee one time. They missed the field goal. And at that point, it was like, oh, this game's over.
Yeah.
The Niners are getting the ball back.
Yep.
They're going to score at least a field goal. They end up scoring a touchdown. And they got one more stop. They scored again. And it was over. And I wondered, to your original point, if everybody was like, yeah, that's it. That was the threat of the game at that point. It's over. Let's stay healthy. Let's use the clock to our advantage. Make sure nobody gets any quick. Like, at that point, you want, like, all 8-minute drives from Tennessee.
Sure.
Like, just.
Yeah.
We don't want no big play happening.
Yeah.
8-minute drive.
Didn't get that. Didn't get that.
And that's.
But it was 31-10 going into the fourth. And I think Tennessee had the ball. But they wound up scoring. It was like, whatever. And then I think that's where the 49ers kicked the field goal. And then they scored again, and it's like, all right, stop.
But once again, it was like, at least for me, and I wonder if these guys think the same way just by nature. Like, you can try to fight against it all you want, but I was like, once they got the field goal to go up three scores, I think they went up 17. It was like, yeah, there's not enough possessions. There's not enough time. Like, the game's over. Just stay healthy. Stay healthy. Don't turn the ball over. It'll be good. Just run the ball. Keep running the ball or whatever. Like, don't fumble or whatever. And I wonder if the defense was kind of thinking that same thing. I also think the defense, just in general, like, that, like, they're not, like, the best defense. So they're going to, you know, give up opportunities from time to time. I wonder how accurate it is, the scenario I laid out on the handoff of, like, there's going to be a quarter and a half window where the defense is going to lock in and they're going to get stops. They're going to get the three and outs or whatever. The key is to make sure you're scoring in that time and you're creating separation if you're the 49ers. Because if you can do that, the game is over. If you can't, you're going to be in trouble because the defense is going to give it up at some point too. They're going to give up their points. It's not a shutout type defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is the formula for 49er success for the rest of the season with this particular defense.
How far do you think they could carry them in the playoffs?
Carry you to a Super Bowl. They can carry you to a Super Bowl. If you, once again, if you're, and it's going to be the offense that's carrying them. That's really the key. That's a different way of saying that. Your offense is going to have to go put up 28 to 34 points every time they play. But if your offense is putting up 28 to 34.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
If your offense is putting up 28 to 34, they'll win. They'll win those games.
I mean, if they're putting up 20, 34, they'll win a Super Bowl. That feels like a lot, though. I mean, that feels it's not unrealistic, but it feels like just come playoff time, just the kind of football you see played and stuff, it feels like you're going to need something from the defense. Like, more than, I guess, just the quarter that you were talking about.
I'm about to say, you'll get you something.
No, that's what I mean, more than the quarter.
Now, what,
like, someone's going to have to get to the quarterback. Like, someone's going to have to, like, step up, I feel. Or what, Salah's going to have to scheme up some pressure.
What you're gonna need as well is you're going to need probably some, you know, some turnovers, some takeaways.
Mm. That's fair.
And they missed those opportunities yesterday, which would have made it even bigger
game. You're right.
They dropped, I think, two picks. And you got to, when you don't get pressure on the quarterback, when you don't sack the quarterback the way they don't, when you play a high level of defense for only about two quarters, when those takeaways arrive, you got to do that. And that could be something that I'm worried about. They're not as opportunistic on the takeaways as, say, like a Chicago Bears are. Chicago Bears aren't like this great defense, but when a ball is tipped in the air and they can snag it, oh, they get it. It feels like every time. And that's where the Niners got to get to if they want to reach the promised land.
Mm.
Got to get better on that.
I'll steal that question from the TV screen up there because it fits into this conversation, I think, pretty well. Who had a bigger win yesterday, Denver or L.A.? The Rams.
Denver.
Really?
Yeah, I agree with Denver.
Denver's in the driver's seat for the one seed. L.A. probably is, too.
Well, the Rams are, too. I thought it was the Rams because for me, it's the Rams because they knocked out Green Bay. Who, what? Like, Green Bay wins that game. All of a sudden, this race for the one seed is wide open. Again, can't remember how the tie factors in all of this, but the one seed is completely open if Green Bay Detroit wins that game.
True. I mean, if you're the Rams, you eliminate a team, almost eliminate two teams because you make it tough for the Lions to even make the playoffs at this point. So that's a big deal.
I was also like, maybe it's part of this, but just expecting the Rams to win that game already. Like going into Detroit, like playing Detroit, like Green Bay and Denver.
Yeah, but they kind of beat their ass.
Yeah. Rams are really the Lions are kind of
that's exactly where I got stuck when trying to evaluate that game yesterday. Man, the Rams are really maybe it's actually Detroit that's just not I couldn't figure. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I don't think Detroit is very good. We've been off Detroit for a while, but
like if the Rams won that, lost that game, then I would like, oh yeah, like I'm like, what's wrong with the Rams? Then at that point, then less about, oh, the Lions kind of picked themselves up again.
You know,
Green Bay, Denver felt like a statement game going into it.
Yeah, real quick, I'm bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a game away from one of the great predictions of all time.
All right.
I'm like a game away.
It's not on the whiteboard.
What prediction is that?
The prediction that the Lions and Chiefs would not make the playoffs.
The one that you backed away from.
Did not.
You didn't back away from
it? We're not going through this again.
You know what? Then I had the Lions in four out as well. For four and four out, the Lions in four out. Yes.
Did you have the Chiefs?
No, I don't remember.
I didn't have the Chiefs. Only one person had
Didn't
we all have the Lions out?
I think so.
We might have, but we were all kind of like on, like, yeah, this might be the year where they kind of fall a little bit.
Now, I did have the Packers out as well. That was wrong.
That was hate.
I know. That was all hate. I thought Minnesota would be playing like they did last night all year. Didn't happen.
Shout out nine.
Did you see that stat about Jahmyr Gibbs' touchdowns?
I did not.
Like the last, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think it's 6 games. Jahmyr Gibbs' touchdowns, 2, 0, 2, 0, 3, 0.
Sounds like some computer code or something.
They can't find a way to every single week get this guy in the end zone somehow. But when they do, it's multiple.
Hey, good for him.
That's great.
Get him.
That speaks that little pattern speaks, I think, perfectly to the Detroit Lions. Like they've got everything. It's right there for them, but they can't consistently put it together.
In week one, mm-hmm. and they beat somebody's ass in week
Chicago.
Two.
In Chicago,
it's like 50 something, right?
Yeah, they ran up the score. Chicago got something for that ass in the last game of the season.
Well, speaking of, that would have been poor phrasing. Speaking of getting your ass whooped, the Raiders managed to lose 31-0. For the second time this season.
Come on, man. Come on.
I once compared the Raiders to the Sacramento Kings. And man, do I feel like a genius. Count it, as Kenny would say. Put it on the board.
Go ahead. Yep. No, I'm with you.
Because these two teams stink to embarrassingly bad levels. 42 plays. 75 yards, 0 points, and 8 straight losses. Ladies and gentlemen, also, I have a question, and I genuinely mean this. Small sample size, it's whatever. Just play along with me. We're out at Run to Feed the Hungry. There's 50,000 people running by. At any time, there's groups of hundreds of people in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, Kenny grabs the mic and says, hey, let's do a quick vibe check. Where the 49er fans at?
Yeah.
Where the Raider fans at? Why? And I mean this. Like, in Chatty House, help me because I can't ask the radio audience.
That really happened.
No, I'm dead serious. I thought about it. It hit me like that second. Why do we talk about this like this is still like somehow like our football team? I understand if you're a Raider fan, you're a Raider fan. You're not an Oakland Raider fan. You're not a Las Vegas Raider fan. You're not a Los Angeles. You're a Raider fan because you're used to this. Are you still there? Are y'all still there?
Raider fan?
Like, are y'all still there here?
I don't.
In the Chatty House.
I don't. I'll put it to you like that.
Mr. Rancho's a Raider fan. All right, there we go. Mr. Rancho,
Dr. David, Roddy Hate watches. I think
they're there,
no,
but I don't
Roddy
think
ain't a Raider fan.
I don't think it's to the degree that they seem to think it is.
Well, the organization's just in a bad. They're in the same spot as the Kings, where it's rock bottom right now.
Yeah, I knew Steven was a Raider fan. All right. Warren says,
"We're live." He says,
"Oh man, sorry, Warren. It's a tough life, pal." Okay, I guess y'all are still there. I guess that was. I guess it was just a bad sample size.
Jason Jones ain't there no more.
40,000. Yeah, Jason's the NFL fan. He's Rob Lowe. He's Rob Lowe out here.
See, but the Raider fans can at least look forward to the fact where they might have a top two pick in the draft this year. And it's like you can sell yourself on the hope of, hey, we can get our quarterback. And maybe they do, but like, at least there's that to look forward to.
Raiders will be good again at some point. They'll be good again.
It always just comes down to getting the right quarterback.
Yeah, that you just you have to make the right moves, man. You have to make the right moves. Something that the Raiders have been unable to do. Something the Sacramento Kings have been unable to do. But there was some good NBA action. We saw. I need someone to explain the Blazers to me. That game was entertaining as hell. And I don't know that I've watched that much of a Blazers game this year, but that game last night was entertaining. We'll touch on some of the big games that happened last night, and then we'll shift our attention back to the Kings, who don't play for like a month, when James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nah, seriously, did you watch any of the Blazers? Did you watch any of the Blazers-Warriors game yesterday?
I didn't. You know why? Because I was watching Lakers-Suns.
Mm.
Once I saw that I was looking at the schedule, I said, oh, LeBron versus Dylan Brooks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm tapped in.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't see the Blazers-Warriors game. I saw the Blazers won. But...
Points everywhere. Mm. You get points. Steph had like 100. I thought the Blazers were entertaining as hell. I was like, is this how they play? I thought you'd be locked in because your boy Shaden was kind of going crazy.
Well, that's what he does, man. That's what he does when he gets the opportunity, when he's healthy. Yeah. He can get buckets.
They're 10-16, but it's like, oh.
Did that game say more to you about the Warriors or Blazers?
The Warriors.
Mm.
The Warriors. Well, it said a lot about Steph because every once in a while. So I think it's fair to categorize Portland as a young basketball team.
Yep.
I think it's fair to categorize Golden State as not a young basketball team.
Nope.
And there are times where it shows. They just don't look athletic. You know what I mean? Like, Steph is still Steph, and he's still doing Steph things. And, like, Steph shot 19 threes yesterday.
That's a lot of three-pointers.
He shot 19 threes.
That is a lot of three-pointers.
So it was just a game. Like, they're 13-14 right now. Like, but they just look like they can't. This isn't hate. Like, this is just trying to like, they're not going to be able to handle a 7-game series. I don't think they're going to be able to handle a 7-game series against anybody.
No.
Much like I mean, young team, I just don't think they can. I don't think they can beat a team four times in seven games.
Well, and this, I don't want to leave necessarily the Warriors-Blazers conversation.
Oh, we can. It was just a mention of it. It was a pretty entertaining game. Well, yeah, that Lakers-Suns one was pretty wild, too.
Well, what I was going to say, when you talk about, like, Warriors winning a 7-game series, what are the Warriors going to look like going against those two teams we saw on Saturday?
Oh, my God.
Like,
oh,
what?
My God. Stop.
What?
Stop. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What's that old? Put him in the conference finals.
No shots.
Right,
yeah. What's that old song called? No Chance in Hell. Yeah, it's that.
They'd have no shot. And I look at, and man, a little round robin going on because these two teams play today. I look at Rockets, Nuggets, Thunder, Spurs, is just on another level in the Western Conference. I think the Knicks can play with those two teams.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow.
I still want to put the Cavs there.
What are we going to call that game tomorrow? Former Kings living their best life. Oh, well, the based on today.
Yeah,
there it is.
The grass is greener. The grass is greener game.
Yes, indeed.
But I think those four teams in the West.
That man under the scrutiny of New York media, and he's like, whew, it's better here. Sorry, go ahead.
Those four teams in the West, the Knicks, the Pistons, and I'll put the Pistons in that category.
Okay, I was going to ask.
And the Cavs. I think those are those seven teams.
Not the Celtics.
Level. Not yet. No. Not without Tatum.
Why the Cavs? You hate Evan Mobley.
I don't hate Evan Mobley. I think they can.
I'm with you.
Game. Yeah, I
I'm
would boo us too if I was the Cavs fans. They're done.
I'm with you.
They missed their chance last year.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I'm not going to dispute that.
Just doubt us, though. Zero's going to be back soon.
Well, I mean, look.
Might need a center, too, but I don't know. The main kid isn't playing well.
Even if you take the Cavs out, just take them out.
Okay.
Those six teams, they're on another level. Like, they're on another level.
Well.
And I think we did learn something over the weekend.
Okay.
The Spurs can win this year.
Yeah.
I think they are legit.
That was my thought, too. But I had a question. Today, and God bless us for being able to avoid this subject for 2 hours and 53 minutes. But don't look at your calendar. It is, in fact, December 15th. The, I guess, unofficial start to trade season. Did what happened on Saturday, if you're San Antonio, make you think, yeah, we're ready? Or did it make you think we are one move away from winning the championship this year?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
There's a move, but I don't think you need – it doesn't have to be Giannis. Like, if I'm the Spurs, I'm not giving you Carper, Castle. I'm really not giving you anything at this point. I really like the Spurs right now. That's kind of – you got to be delicate with that.
Jesse, do you think that's an overreaction, that after watching them in that setting? Because the other thing that makes me say that is the setting.
Like, yeah, it felt like a big deal.
Yeah, like they were getting after – all four teams were getting after it in the NBA Cup. And just seeing that, do you think that they can win a title this year?
Yeah, I think they're here. Like, I think they're here now. Maybe early, but I think the Spurs are legit. Like, they can give the Thunder a run for their money in the conference finals.
Mm. I mean, they match up really well, man.
For the record, I think they're here.
Yeah.
I think this conference is San Antonio's and Oklahoma City's. And I think when you look at the way Fox and Castle and Harper played while Wemby wasn't there,
they didn't miss a beat.
There's also rumblings within NBA insider circles. The Spurs don't really have, like, interest in making this move.
Yeah.
I think I saw something reported or, like, a rumor that they wouldn't be interested until, like, the offseason, if anything.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. I just listening, reading, was like, yeah, this isn't a move that they're eager to make.
They don't need to. Like, they don't. I'm watching those guys all together, finally. They don't need to do nothing.
If they lost on Saturday, do you think it'd be different?
If they lost in a different way. Like, if they played that same game and it was close and they lost.
Lost by 15. With Wemby back.
I'd probably still be like, they're just not ready yet. Not like, hey, go do whatever it takes to get Giannis. I'd be like, they're not ready yet. That's if they would have lost a close game, they can go. Like, give me seven games. They can beat the Thunder.
If it was close, but like the Thunder, like it's close, but like the Thunder are able to keep it within a possession or two of the entire game, and just the Thunder is still in control. Like, yeah, maybe you'll get Giannis, but yeah, the Spurs are right there with them. The team that needs to go get Giannis is the Knicks.
Yeah, maybe so. Did you like listen to the broadcast on the Knicks Magic game? Did you listen?
Passively.
They were talking about
how, I wasn't as locked into that one as I was the second one.
The second one was, I went to the movies on Saturday night. I was a family man and was like, yeah, we can.
What did you see?
Zootopia.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Like, yeah, we can go to the 6:20 show. Damn it. They're right in the middle, right at the start of the game. But I went to the movies and I put my phone to the side till I got home and didn't look at nothing because I wanted to watch that game. I was tapped in for Spurs OKC and I was glad I was. But I was almost similarly tapped into the Knicks Magic game. And they were just talking about how Jalen Brunson, who's gone crazy in these cup games as of late, was like the philosophy of Mike Brown, like get the ball, move it, make a decision quick, all this other stuff, has helped Jalen Brunson and has elevated his flow offensively. And yeah, I wonder if, you know, say things about Mike Brown or allude to things. Got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
Maybe the way he goes about that, because that's something that he believed in here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about it on the broadcast as to Jalen Brunson saying, that's helped me. You know, I feel a little better, and that might even help the offense in general, you know, to have it where it's not sticking to my hands and I'm dribbling the ball out and all this other stuff. Yeah, man, like, salute to Mike Brown with what he's doing with that Knicks team.
Yeah.
I think if they were to get a guy like Giannis, like, yeah, they're in that top shelf. But I think they're kind of already there.
Might be there already.
I think they're already there with those. Cat's been playing really well. Like,
I'm pretty bought in on the NBA Cup, by the way.
Oh, you're in. Okay.
Yeah, Speak to it.
No, they got, because we were talking about it last week, and I think I was talking to Damon. You might have been out for a second, case here. I don't remember either way. I was like, yeah, if you get like these up and coming teams and like you got the Thunder there, like it'll look, it's like you, like it's kind of like these teams get to leapfrog, I guess, or kind of catapult themselves. Top of the Pacers and then the, who won it last year? The Bucks?
Yeah, Bucks won.
Yeah, just these teams or whatever. But point is, like you got the Magic, Knicks in there, and then the Thunder, Spurs, like. It's not really for anything. Like, it's the NBA Cup, and it doesn't really mean anything. But if you like the NBA and you like basketball, like, you were pretty tapped in for that. Like, you got to make it mean something, I guess, as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Thunder Spurs, and that's a great game in itself. But, nope, like, you got to mention, too, like, the semifinals in the NBA Cup. Like, it's got some stakes. Like, as a fan, you got to kind of just make it, I guess.
Nah, for sure. And I thought all four teams, we really saw it on the second game. But I thought they understood the assignment, and they played like, you know, with sports, and you hear Michael Jordan, people talk about this, like Steph Curry does a good job. Like, I got to show up every time, even if I don't want to, because this is part of the job. This is part of growing the game. And I don't know if this was exactly what their thought process was, but it sure felt like they're like, hey, we got to show up to play in this game. And boy, did they ever. He might have said it seven times too many, but I was with Stan Van Gundy. Like, I was like, this game is just crazy. This is incredible.
I did hear Stan.
No, but I'm sitting in my bedroom watching. I was like, this is incredible. These guys are playing at such a high level, playing so intense. This is amazing to watch. And Stan maybe they Van understood the assignment.
He had a little Bill Walton moment.
Well, yesterday. I said, wait a minute. I said, yo.
Like, stay, Stan.
Stan, just he's settled down.
Getting his little Bill Walton moment.
I was wondering if we were going to see that on Awful Announcing. Because that's the first thing I said, oh, they're gonna,
oh, goodness.
They're going to clip that.
Oh, I don't
know if they did or not, though.
That would have been a good one. Oh, God. That's sharp thinking. I should have looked for that right out the gate.
I said, wait a minute. That's it, Stan. Chill, bro. No. Just The nickname is fine. Just
I think he made it. For those who missed it, Stan Van said he didn't like the nickname Alien, and he said he's worried about the administration deporting. It was, I don't know if he was trying to get a joke off or make a political stand, but it was
the definition of cringeworthy.
Yeah, it was a little cringy.
It was a little cringy. No, Stan, no.
I didn't see it on the website, but I'll take a quick peek to their Twitter account. Oh, why is Stephen A. Smith calls for Tom Brady to take over Raiders football operations?
I saw that headline today. Didn't watch it.
Doesn't he already?
I don't know. I didn't watch it, but I'm assuming he's like, you make all the calls.
Oh, nope, there it is. Awful and Nasty got him. Yep. They got him. We do not want Victor Wembanyama deported. Let's go with a different nickname. Oh, Stan.
Oh, no.
Oh, here's a good headline. Done to Awful Announcing. Bill Simmons compares John Cena's controversial last match to The Sopranos ending. Hey, okay, Bill. I see you. Some people call the ending brilliant, thought-provoking, and flawless if you paid attention to the series. It appears, Bill Simmons says, Cena was symbolically saying, I'm literally tapping out. I don't care. Give me the happy ending.
Not fairy tale land, man.
What'd you think of the little smirk before he did it?
I thought it was fine. Like, I was texting my brother about it because we watched him wrestling growing up.
The evil stuff. Jesse.
Yes, the evil Jesse. And he was just like, no, I've seen a better win. Like, this is stupid. Why are they having him fight Gunther and all this stuff? Like, the same thing everyone else. And I was like, this is the way he's got to go out.
Did you guys see the ending coming?
Yeah, when he fought out, did the attitude adjustment. It was like the fifth one. Mm. When he kicked out and went right back into it, I said to Kay, I was like, this is over.
Mm. And it's easy to walk away from too, though. Like, he lost, he got beat up. Like, now he's retired. There's not like, oh, he almost won. Maybe they'll bring him back. He still got it. It's like, nah, it's over now.
And I also, like, WWE's like being emphatic. This was his last match. This is it. Like, it's over. He's not coming back. That's what led me to the...
Until he gets the bag and we see him in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man. Let's welcome in.
Ric Flair came back, didn't he?
Like 8 times. Ric Flair came back for like $1.50 and some envelopes. No one even asked him to come back. He just did.
Buy a Ric Flair plane ticket. He'll probably end up here in the studio.
He absolutely will. We welcome in our...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news... You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.